I'm going to start today by talking to Patrick Phillips from Trinity College Dublin. And Patrick is part of a joint project with the Northside Partnership. And we are going to talk about the Jobs Club at the Northside Partnership. Patrick, first of all, you're very welcome to the programme and thank you so much for talking to me this morning.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me on the show.
Patrick, you have quite the resume, I would suggest, when it comes to this topic. 7 years career guidance, 4 years as a recruitment consultant. You have designed and delivered career modules at Trinity College Dublin for business students. Now, your CV is far, far more expansive than that, but if I was to recite your CV, I would be talking about it until 10 minutes to one. You are engaging in an initiative with, I would suggest, probably one of the best organisations that I have come across in many a long year, which is the Northside Partnership, and to be more precise, the Jobs Club within the partnership. Tell us a little bit about that, Pat. Tell us about how it came about first, and then what it's going to entail and where it's going to pay dividends for our listeners in the area this morning.
Yeah, I'm working with Jackie Rinn in the Northside Partnership to deliver a number of workshops. So we actually did our first one last week in which I gave a presentation on how to make the most of your LinkedIn page for targeting jobs that are right for you. So that first session focused on networking and how important that is to find a job, particularly in the current market context. I think we're kind of all familiar with sending CVs through links, but sometimes you need to go a step further. When I say links, I mean job boards. And LinkedIn can be a useful tool for engaging with people, decision makers and companies and people who can help you find jobs that are right for you and ultimately refer you for jobs as well. So that was our first workshop last week. And next week, I'm delivering another workshop on how people can best prepare for what I would describe are the most popular interview questions that we're seeing employers ask at the moment. And then we'll probably do another workshop on maybe CVs. And so it's kind of an evolving project.
Patrick, is the CV becoming a kind of outdated, I suppose, is the word I would use? Because, you know, we hear anecdotally about completion of CVs, and I mean, the vast majority of people who are applying for jobs are still using CVs. But I want to talk to you in more depth in a moment about different ways of applying for jobs. But let's just say the actual hard copy CV, which a lot of people would be familiar with, where you update it, which you're supposed to do, of course. You apply for a job, you fill out your CV, your application, and you probably print off, oh God knows, we've heard of people who have printed off hundreds of them. They're dropped into companies or whatever, and we hear anecdotally that a lot of companies don't even look at them. They go straight in the bin, or they look at the top page and they say, nah, not for me. Is there something that people could do with that hard copy CV that might, we'll say, hold the attention of the person reading it for a little bit longer and, you know, sort of prick their interest in a person? Yeah. How can somebody construct a CV that gives them an edge on somebody else?
Yeah, it's a really good question and something that I've done a lot of research on. And I've spoken to so many employers over the last, well, since the late 2000s, but particularly in my job with Trinity College, I talk to employers all the time, the major tech firms, Googles, LinkedIns, down to small startups. And there's a trend that's so common amongst all of them. When it comes to the CV, less is more. We live in an era where recruiters and hiring managers are just inundated with information. We all are. And particularly when you have a market like the one we're in right now, which is quite challenging, what you discover is that employers are getting more CVs than ever. So that the problem is that managers, let's say a hiring manager, they only have so much time in a week that they can spend looking at CVs before they got to do the day job. And then recruiters are looking at hundreds of CVs a day. And that can be kind of daunting for those of us who are job hunting. But a really important thing to remember is that the vast majority of applications that recruiters and hiring managers receive, the vast majority of CVs are not suitable for the job, first of all. So if a hiring manager gets 100 CVs, half or more of those CVs are not suitable. But then the next problem is that a very large percentage of the CVs are bad.
Sorry, Patrick, can I just stop you there for one moment? Is that a very diplomatic way of saying that people are applying for the wrong jobs, or that they are applying for jobs for which they don't have the appropriate qualifications?
Yeah, the problem is with technology, it's so easy to send CVs over the internet. So employers are getting a large amount of applications, whereas many years ago, you'd have to type up a CV, put it in the post. But now employers are getting literally hundreds of CVs sent in over the internet. So what you can do to make sure that you stand out from the crowd is keep your CV as short as possible. Really, I mean, a lot of employers say one page, but definitely no more than two pages. But the really important part is the top of the CV, where you can write your personal summary. The biggest complaint that employers make to me is that they get CVs, and what happens is the person has not actually answered the job description. So what I would say to listeners is, when you're looking at a job description, first of all, ask yourself, am I actually really right for this role? And does this role really interest me? And then highlight three or four things on that job description that you think are absolutely critical, and make sure to answer those three points in your personal summary and in the body of the CV, and to do it in a sort of a simple way. Don't write in a complicated way. Just keep it very simple. Answer the question that's asked in the job description.
Yes, you know, it comes to mind, and it's a phrase I have used a lot, particularly around the pandemic and government communications, and it takes me back. I think it was Bill Clinton, but I'm not sure. It's a phrase he used called KISS. Keep it simple, stupid.
And
it works, actually, doesn't it, Patrick?
It does. And you mentioned Bill Clinton, was it? And I mean, you think about, like, Steve Jobs said a number of years ago, you have to work hard to make your thinking simple. And what he meant by that is just that, keep it simple. Explain in simple terms why you are right for the job. On average, recruiters spend about 15 or 20 seconds looking at a CV. So you don't have a lot of time. But really, the first two sentences on your CV, if they're well written, if they're clearly addressing something very, very important in the job description, that's how you hook the recruiter to want to read more and to spend more time looking at the rest of the CV.
Yeah, I remember speaking to somebody, and for the life of me now, Patrick, I can't remember who it was or what even the context of it was, whether it was a seminar or it could have been as simple as chatting to somebody over a pint, and I can't remember where it was at the particular time. But I remember him saying to me that where a lot of people who are completing CVs, or even, I suppose, more importantly, if they get to the interview stage, they get so wound up that they forget the real reason that they're completing a CV, or that they are sitting in front of somebody for an interview, and that it's you nearly have to change your mindset completely when you're in those two scenarios, that you are a salesman, or a saleswoman, should I say, a salesperson, let us be PC about this, that your actual object of the whole thing, be it in a CV or in an interview, is to sell yourself, that you are selling yourself to this company, and you're going to explain, as you say, in as simple a way as you possibly can, be it written or oral at an interview. about how you're the perfect fit and that they are practically nearly going to go bankrupt if they don't hire you. Well, I'm taking the extremities, but this is the way that you should approach these things.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And when I give lectures on CV design and interviewing, but particularly with the CV, like I explain to the audience that this is a sales document. And again, another thing that employers tell me a lot is that they might get a CV. It's well laid out. It's quite short. It's easy to read, but it just reads like a history of their work experience. There's no attempt to actually make a pitch as to why they should hire them. And that's why something like the personal summary at the top of the CV is so important, because it's an opportunity to actually sell yourself. And I think sometimes we're a little bit, we don't want to sell ourselves. You know, we kind of feel like we shouldn't do that. But really, you do need to sell yourself in your CV and in your interview, because no one's going to do it for you. So it's the one time where you do need to really big yourself up, as they say.
Now, coming back, Patrick, because, I mean, I would imagine that everybody, well, I would hope that everybody listening is familiar with the paper version of the CV and job application format. How does it differ when we come to the technical side of things and just submitting now? And I'm going to come particularly in a moment to LinkedIn. Or indeed, you can go on and discuss LinkedIn from here if you want, Patrick, because they're sort of connected anyway, if you'll pardon the pun.
Yeah.
A person applying online through technical means as opposed to leaving in the old-fashioned hard copy CV, tell me how the technical side of it differs from the old way of doing things.
Yeah, well, there's been growing popularity for using online methods to apply for jobs. And I think something important to keep in mind when you're applying, say, online, is that companies use what we call applicant tracking systems to this computer software, which reads the CV. And sometimes these tracking systems can get a little bit confused if you use a CV with, say, pictures and tables and charts on it. Now, the first thing I would say to people is, when applying for a job over the internet, use a standard Word document CV and keep the design simple. I see a lot of CVs where there's pictures, graphs, and these things, and they confuse computer software systems. So keep it simple. Send a Word document CV. With regards handing in CVs as well, it's the same principle. If you're going into an employer, just remember the CV that works for sending over the internet is the same CV that will work when you're walking into an employer and handing it at the front desk to the receptionist. It's the same design.
And then come on and just talk to me about LinkedIn. And I mean, there are, God knows, there are as many recruitment sites as you could throw or shake a stick at on the internet as well. I mean, there's tons of them, and they all, allegedly anyway, have an unlimited amount of opportunities for people.
Yeah. Well, LinkedIn is a useful tool for reaching out to people. So let's say, for example, you see a job on the internet that you're interested in. You can go onto LinkedIn and have a look at that company, and you can actually look at the people who are working in that company. And you can reach out to someone who's working in that company via LinkedIn. You can send them a little message saying, "Hi, I see that you guys are recruiting for a receptionist or data entry clerk or marketing executive, it doesn't matter." And you can ask them for help. You can ask them and say, I'm really interested in this position, and I was wondering, would you have any tips or suggestions on how I might change or edit my CV before applying to this role? That's something I coach the postgraduate students in Trinity College on. And every year, the students get really good feedback from people who are working in these companies over LinkedIn to say, "Oh, hi, yeah, sure, no problem. Would you like to have a chat on?" Well, it's all remote now, so it could be Zoom. And I'll tell you a little bit about the company and what they look for and things that you can put on your CV. Or they might just send a couple of messages over LinkedIn with a few tips and suggestions. So that's where LinkedIn can be really helpful. It can help you reach out to people, decision makers, or just regular employees in the company who can give you advice when you're actually applying for a job.
That is amazing, actually, to think that before you would even complete a CV, you'd be nearly almost asking the company that you're thinking of working for, what would you like to see on my CV? Because that's almost the way that comes across, Patrick.
Yeah, well, it's good old-fashioned networking. You're just using technology to do that. It's an effective way just to reach out to someone in the company, ask them. Sometimes the person will say, hey, do you want me to send in your CV on your behalf? So often companies will run a referral program. Back when I worked in recruitment, I managed a referral program for a company that I worked for. And basically what that meant was someone in the company could refer a CV to me, and then I would take that CV and bring it to the hiring manager, and the hiring manager then would hopefully interview that person and potentially give them a job offer. And the person who referred the CV to me might get a prize or a voucher or even a commission. It varied.
Patrick, I'm very conscious of the time this morning, because, and I'm very grateful to you for the time you've given us this morning. So there's a couple of things that I just want to briefly run through with you because of,
sure,
I suppose, predominantly the climate we're in. And I appreciate, Patrick, as well, that these may not be the easiest of questions to answer, primarily because we're in a very fluid situation and we just really don't know what's happening at the moment. But I'll chance my arm anyway.
Sure.
In the current climate, is there any trend being set as to where jobs might be in the current market?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, just going back to when we first encountered the pandemic and we had the lockdown, there was a 95% drop in recruitment for about 3 months. So that was just the way it was. But gradually what we've seen over the course of the summer is a gradual uptick in recruitment. Week on week, there's been an increase. I think there's a general agreement that, you know, this is the way things are, and employers are sort of are determined to get on with it now. What it's been amazing, actually, seeing, say, students who are leaving Trinity College and they're starting their jobs entirely remotely. So they get their laptop sent out to them and they log on and they start their jobs. They go through training and they're introduced to the company through Zoom and virtual means. So people are now starting their jobs online, which is really interesting to see. Some industries have been badly affected by the pandemic, as we all know. High street retailers, travel, tourism, very badly affected by the pandemic. But then there's other sectors that have done quite well. And so, for example, if you look at some of the major companies like Amazon, they're doing extremely well because people are ordering things online. So what I would say to people listening is have, you know, read the papers, keep an eye on what companies are thriving in the current climate. So any company that's offering online services where you can order online are doing really well. So it's been interesting. Some companies have actually started to do really well because of what's happening, and some are struggling. So yeah, keep an eye in the press, in the news, to see what companies are doing well, and then target them. You know, look them up on LinkedIn, look them up on the job boards, and see when they're recruiting. And when they are recruiting, use LinkedIn to talk to people in those companies for advice on how best to apply and how best to design your CV for that company.
Yeah, that answered my next question. So you've answered two questions in one, because I was about to ask you what was the best way to get a job in the current market. So that's that one sorted.
Yeah.
Over your experience, I suppose, Patrick, is the correct way in English to phrase it. Is there still common interview questions that come up? I mean, we are all familiar with the fact that we're in changing times, and I mean employment and employment techniques and the way we do our job has changed phenomenally, absolutely phenomenally in the year 2020. Yeah. But even going back over the last 10 or 20 years, the way work is done and recruitment is done has changed exponentially. I mean, I keep saying that if you brought somebody back from 70 years ago, they just wouldn't recognize the employment climate that we're in at the moment. But, and this is really my question, Patrick, is there a common thread that runs through when it comes to, number one, I suppose, the questions, and number two, then, obviously, following on from that, the answers?
Yeah, I've done quite a lot of research on this, and whenever I have a student or client going for an interview, I always say to them, look, when you come out, let me know what you were asked, let me know what the questions were. So I've been tracking these for a couple of years now, and there's been the emphasis is really on soft skills. I've calculated that about nearly 70% of questions asked in interviews are what we call soft skills questions. So that's kind of questions like, give me an example of how you build a relationship with someone, or tell me about a time that you failed and what did you learn from that, or give me an example where you had to deal with a difficult customer. So let's say if you're working in retail and you've got a customer who's frustrated or angry, how did you cope with that? What did you do? What keeps you motivated? Employers are interested to know about you. They want to know about your personality. Because what employers tell me is if they hire someone who's, say, motivated, who is aware of themselves, they're aware of their strengths and weaknesses, but they understand how to be empathetic towards others, that they have good listening skills. Employers say to me, if you hire someone like that, you can teach them anything. You can coach them. They're able to learn. And so that's why they focus so much on these soft skills questions, because they want to understand what people are like. It's not just about technical skills anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make perfect sense. I see a phrase here in front of me, Patrick, and I'd like you to briefly explain it for my benefit and for the benefit of the listeners. Yeah. Emotional intelligence.
Yeah. So this is an area that I've done quite a lot of research in over the last 10 years now. So basically, our IQs are set from a relatively young age. You know, we don't get any sort of smarter after a certain age in childhood. But the area of emotional intelligence is a new area, relatively new area. But what it tells us is that we can learn to control our emotions. We can become more emotionally intelligent. And that's really what employers are after. So if you think about the example of how you deal with a difficult customer. So you're working in a shop and they come in because they bought something and it's not working and they're very frustrated and angry. It's not IQ that's going to help you deal with that situation. It's emotional intelligence. It's the ability to stay calm. It's the ability to be aware of the fact that, okay, I'm feeling anxious here because this person is angry, they're giving out to me, they're not happy. But I'm aware of this and I can control it. And I'm going to listen very, very carefully to this customer. I'm going to hear them out. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to stay calm. I'm not going to lose my temper, or I'm not going to try and just get away from the problem as quickly as possible. I'm going to stay present in the moment. I'm going to let the customer explain their frustrations. And then I know that if I listen to them, they're naturally going to calm down. And then once that's done, I can help them resolve the problem. That's emotional intelligence. And it's kind of a relatively easy concept to understand, but it's hard to practice. It's hard to be present and calm when a customer is being angry and is frustrated and giving out to you. But that's a skill that you can develop over time. And when employers encounter people who are emotionally intelligent, they want to hire them because they know that they can learn, that they can handle pressure, that they can cope with tight deadlines. That they're going to ask questions, that they're going to listen, and that's that's really what they're after in the market today.
Patrick, it has been brilliant and really, really educational, and I thoroughly enjoyed our chat. And Patrick will be conducting his next seminar via Zoom, and it will be entitled How to Prepare for the Most Popular Interview Questions, and that is taking place on the 21st of October at 3 p.m. as we said, via Zoom. If you would like more information on that, you can contact the Jobs Club at 01-832-0995 or Jobs Club, all one word, at innespartnership.ie. Patrick Phillips from Trinity College Dublin, thank you so much for joining me this morning, Patrick. I really, really enjoyed our chat, and thank you for what you're doing. And particularly to the Northside Partnership for what they are doing as well for the people of the area. It's a tremendous organisation.
Thanks, Tony, and thanks for having me on the show. It's been great.
You're more than welcome, and we will chat again. Thanks, Patrick.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. And don't forget that those interviews, or all the interviews today, will be available on our Listen Again service. So if you just go on to the Near FM website later on today, probably more than likely tomorrow, those interviews will be up. So if you missed any of the details, you can get them. But if you're interested in that particular aspect of employment and getting jobs and CVs, etc., etc., that next seminar will take place via Zoom on October the 21st at 3 p.m. Or you can contact the Jobs Club, as I said, on 01-832-0995 or jobsclub@innespartnership.ie.